We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 399 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and he's Rafa Aldamui. We are definitely somewhere in the middle of coming to terms with the Inter Milan result and looking ahead to Celta and Inter for next week. So that's what we'll be doing today, basically those two things. And I feel like the Inter Milan stuff can wait just a few minutes. I know it's all that we can think about still, but Celta de Vigo is on Sunday. There is actually a La Liga match in between these two Inter Milan games. And Barcelona is first in the Liga table, by the way, heading into that game against Celta de Vigo. So that's kind of the way that that Celta match matters. But we do have to start, regarding the Celta match, with some bad news. It's not just all the players that we've talked about before. I can't believe I started the list with Bellerin, but alphabetical, well, no, Araujo's alphabetical order. So Araujo, Bellerin, Koundé, I'm already missing so many others, but Memphis.
Frank is coming back.
The whole thing. But Frank Kessier and Andres Christensen have now joined the walking injured. It's a thigh injury for Kessier and a sprained left ankle for Christensen. The news I've seen, Rafa, is that Christensen could be out for almost a month, potentially through basically the World Cup, where he'd go to the World Cup with Denmark, be good for that, and then that's when he would return. And it is crazy to think at the start of this summer, well, basically the end of the summer, that Xavi had also asked for another center back. You saw, after Christensen signed on the free transfer, we heard that Xavi wanted another one. Part of that was because he expected to send Gerard Piqué packing. And I think that was a like-for-like Piqué for some other guy. But just the fact that he was asking for someone else is telling. That said, you know, you don't plan for three starting center backs to all go down in the same month. No squad is deep enough anywhere to deal with that kind of injury crisis. But it is just born bad news. That's what it is. Kessier and Christensen, like, having healthy players is paramount. Last year, there was no depth in this team, and last year, the results did not follow.
I agree. It's insane. I think that's the word that I would use. I agree with you 100%. Like, you can plan, you can buy as many center backs as you want, but at the end of the day, if you got three center backs that get injured, I mean, what the hell are you supposed to do? And it's ironic, and Piqué, now literally we're going to be in the hands of Piqué and Eric Garcia for God knows how many games. Koundé, we'll see if he comes back against Real Madrid. And then I honestly, if he's not 100% ready against Real Madrid, I wouldn't risk it, because it's not like that's the last game before the World Cup break. We still got seven more freaking games after the Clásico, that I wouldn't risk the likes of Koundé coming back. Oh my God, we need to win a Clásico, this and that. And then he re-aggravates that injury and he's out the rest of those seven games before the World Cup. So Araujo is out until after the World Cup.
Real quick, Koundé, I wanted to avoid this till later, but as far as the stakes even going on for the next weeks after El Clásico, before everybody leaves for the World Cup, it's still Bayern Munich at home. And there is a scenario where Barcelona do draw Inter Milan, where you have to then beat Bayern Munich at home. You have to beat Victoria Pilsen, and you also have to hope Bayern Munich does beat Inter Milan. And so that there is a scenario where that happens, where it becomes the last gasp is at home against Bayern Munich. And you'd rather have Koundé healthy for that one then healthy for El Clasico. It seems counterintuitive, but absolutely.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think that's what Xavi and Laporta, in a way, have to think about it. Because, of course, we do need to win against Inter at the Camp Nou. But if we manage a draw, obviously that wouldn't be the ideal scenario. But if we do manage a draw at home, then we still have some kind of hope, like you just mentioned. So thinking about Koundé, it's like we can't get like a horse, like just seeing like straight ahead, like Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. Oh my God, we need to bring Koundé. No, like we need to think a little bit like bigger picture, like in the league and also in the Champions League, because that game against Bayern at home, God knows what the scenario is going to be. And it could very well end up being, this is literally our last hope. So I think that's like, Xavi needs to have that in mind, because right now it's the type of center backs that we have. Like we have five center backs. We all know their names. Three of them are kind of like the same type of like those that can play out of the back. They're not that fast. Those being Christensen, Piqué, and Eric. And then you had the other two who are more like, they correct. They're like the gladiators, fast, strong, Araújo and Koundé. And now we have two great center backs playing out of the back, but defensively with space behind them and not having that other type of center back with them, I'm really curious to see how that's going to play out in all these games where we face, especially the Clásico, because if Xavi doesn't want to risk Koundé against Real Madrid, then dear God, Eric and Piqué and Bellerín or Sergi Roberto against Vinicius, damn, we could be in for a long, long night against the Brazilian.
I mean, yes and no, because we saw even in El Clásico in the preseason that Barcelona have fortified their defense in a really good way. It's not just Ter Stegen. It's that they are only 1 to 3 times a game now are they being hit it with that long counter or that, well, it's really what it is. It's a cross field switch of play. And if you can do that in your own offensive third, you can get off to the races against Barcelona. Inter Milan did it 3 times. They scored on one of those times. For Real Madrid and El Clasico, when they played in the preseason, they did it twice, scored 0 of those times. And yes, I mean, you're right, that Koundé was also, Araujo was also dealing with Vinny Jr., right? So it's like, yeah, the wrinkles individually are, I'm not like saying that Garcia and Piqué are going to be able to handle those things. I'm saying that the bright side is that even though it is Eric and Piqué, the names on the page make you feel certain things. But what we're seeing so far, again, one goal conceded in all of the Liga so far this season, that is something to hang your hat on. And there, I believe that there is some kind of institutional understanding of defensively, Xavi has put some things together there. Speaking of the back line, though, what I want to see against Celta de Vigo, Christensen going down for the whole month, when we're talking about Bayern, we're talking about Inter, we're talking about Real Madrid, terrible. Against Celta de Vigo, no disrespect to Celta, but academy opportunities are coming to call in, Rafa. So it's time to take out the hype machines. Let's get on the train. I think we should, someday I'm going to get one of like, you know, the choo-choo, you know what I mean? One of those little music bed or whatever, because it's academy hype time. Get on the train. Chadi Riyad is next in line. So Chadi Riyad is likely going to be called up for Celta just to be on the bench, to be an extra body. He has partnered with Paulo Fernandes, who has recovered well after missing most of last season with injury. Just 2 19-year-olds. They are usually the starting center backs for Barça Athletic. They have played 390 minutes together and haven't conceded a single goal. That's including the UEFA Youth League. And that being Riyad, for his little backstory on him, he went on loan to Sabadell 2 seasons ago as a 17-year-old. He's originally from Mallorca and Moroccan-born from Mallorca. There we go. So he goes to Sabadell 2 seasons ago as a 17-year-old on loan. It was a weird move at the time when they were in the second division. He did only play twice, but he was playing with their first team. And he was practicing and training and doing all that with Sabadell as a 17-year-old. Comes back, plays with the U19s last year, looks good, looks healthy. And even the other day, he just scored a header and a thrashing of Inter Milan, the UEFA Youth League. He's a left-footed center back, not amazing on the ball, but physically won't look out of place. Even at 19, he looks like an adult man. You know, he looks like physically hits hard, all that stuff. But he also isn't a black hole with the ball. I will say that. Like, him at 19 looks better than Araujo, who was 19 when he showed up from Uruguay. So it's a bit better. I mean, he did that being Riyad has been in the system for quite a few seasons now. So I, not to say I have high hopes for him, but he has kind of been, you know, he hasn't been a, I mean, the attackers or the big talents are midfielders or attackers in La Masia, and those are the ones who got the headlines. And it takes a lot for a back line player. But he's not like a Balde, who we kind of have known for a long, long time. Like, Riyad is one of, like, what, 4 to 6 center backs from 16 to 20 for a while there. That's like maybe 1 or 2 or 3 of them is going to become big. Like, of his generation, Thiago Almeida was the one that was more highly ranked for a long, long time. And now he's unfortunately very good on the ball, but having some trouble with his defending. So instead of being with Barça Athletic, Almeida is still with the U19s, trying to figure it out. He's got a contract situation as well, and things may not necessarily work out for him, but he was always the more highly rated one. But Riyad, again, he grew into his body just fine. He's physical, he's strong, and I would love to see him play against Celta de Vigo. I would start him against Celta de Vigo. Like, whether you got to rest Eric or PK, I think you get, what is it, 3 academy players? So for me, it's Riyad, it's Casado, and then, I mean, nobody else. Gabi is first team? Yeah, Gabi's registered for the first team now. So yeah, that's it. It's Riyad, Casado, and you don't really worry about it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So, let me, obviously, you know way more than I do about academy players. Obviously, I did see Marc Casado during the preseason a lot when Xavi used him. So, let's say, like, against Celta, if Xavi is going to use one of those 3 to 4 youngsters, I think he would only use one. I don't think he would use 2 as starters in that back line. So, if you would have to guess, do you think Xavi would, since Marc Casado played as a right back during the preseason, I mean, I'm not a betting man, but if we would have to choose, do you think that would be the safe option? Like, obviously, Marc Casado as a right back, instead of, let's say, even playing Marcos Alonso as a center back, do you think Xavi would use Marcos Alonso as a center back before he would use Riyad or somebody else? Against Celta, that's what I mean.
And so, yeah, I think Xavi is going to go with the experienced player. I think that's what managers do. They go with especially against looking ahead to Inter next week. Like, we pretty much know, having what we saw in the second half, that Balde will start against Inter at home. So Alonso will not be starting. So if Alonso's not starting, you might as well start him as a left center back instead of the 19-year-old.
Yeah.
But the 19-year-old in Riyad has not, say, earned it and in a way that Alonso hasn't, but that's his natural position. He's looked just fine. And against Celta de Vigo, that kind of should be his level. Like, I know he's down in the third division right now, but of what he's shown so far, there's no reason why he can't step up to that level in that way. Because Casado is interesting because you're right. I wouldn't play him at right back, but in the same regard, I mean, we saw last week against Mallorca when it was Balde at right back. So I don't know if I would put Balde there either. with Roberto healthy, yeah, you hope that Roberto can be out there, but he also has not been totally fit either. I don't know. I think I'm being a little bit too overcautious in the break glass in case of emergency. Like, you don't want Roberto getting hurt, because that's the thing. God forbid Sergio Roberto gets hurt before the return leg against Inter. Like, God forbid he reinvigorates his injury against Celta. And so the way I would play this Celta match, for Casado, I'd rather have him in for Busquets. Honestly, that's what I would do. I know it's not what's going to happen, but that's what I would love to see. Busi get a rest against before Inter, because that's what Busi needs. So you rest Busi, play a pivot, a like-for-like pivot, and especially if Frankie isn't fully back healthy. I think that's the real question, right? That I think Xavi is going to start Frankie at 70% or Roberto at 70% if he really needs to rest Busi, because if they're good enough to start and healthy enough fit to start, then you start them. But again, I wouldn't even consider that. Inter's that important that I would say, hey, if we're going to win against Celta, let's win this one 7-5 or 7. I don't care. Just let this one go crazy. Let it go nuts. Everybody have some fun. Go out there and get just make sure you end up with enough goals at the end of this, because it doesn't matter. It all comes down to Inter the next week. So, yeah, it's me with hopeful thinking. You're absolutely right about, I think, the way Xavi's going to approach it. But, yeah, I would just be concerned with even Pedri. Like, Pedri should be rotated for likely Pablo Torre, because there's no reason why Pedri should be playing 90 minutes or maybe even starting against Celta de Vigo. Like, what? I mean, with Kessier out, it's going to either be Pedri, Frankie, and Busi, or is it going to be Pedri, Busi, and Gabi again? But something, that'll be the next thing we talk about. Something fundamentally has to change about that, about the way that worked against Inter. So, I mean, really, I'm asking you then in return, who are you starting in your midfield against Inter? And that kind of dictates who you should be starting against Celta.
Thing is, obviously, Pedri is starting 100,000%.
You're that's talking about Inter.
Obvious. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying that's what I mean. They dictate, like, it's.
Yeah, that's the thing. That right now, I know the league, like, there's so much play for the, like, during the league. But it would surprise me a lot. Like, I do agree that it would make sense for, like, to see Pablo Torre against Celta. But Pablo Torre hasn't played whatsoever. So, not to say that would be something that, oh, he hasn't played, so he can't play against Celta. Yes, he can definitely play. But it would be a little bit surprising to see him start when he hasn't even come in as a sub for the most part. So, that's what I'm trying to get at. And I do agree, like, because I don't see Inter changing their game plan that much, especially at the Camp Nou.
They're going to double, so, they're going to triple down.
Exactly.
What they did, for sure.
Exactly. So if, like, the game at San Siro, Giuseppe Meazza, however you want to call it, went one way, it's going to be even worse at the Camp Nou. So you need Pedri to basically pull the rabbit out of the hat. So it wouldn't surprise me to not see Pedri in the starting 11 against Celta. But then, and this is what's so insane about our current situation, that you would think, oh, well, let's just put in Frankie or put in Kessié. But Kessié literally just got injured. He won't be available. And then Frankie is coming back from an injury. So, and then let's say, do you want to put Frankie instead of Gabi against Inter? But if you put Frankie against Celta and he gets injured again, then you're putting Gabi, who I think was one of the problems against Inter. I'm laughing, but I don't want to, because I don't want to cry.
Like, that is your only option. Like, that's because Kessié is out. Yeah. So that's it.
So I would. And then if you give Busquets a rest, which I think would be a smart option, but giving Busquets a rest would mean you got to put Frankie in that position. So again, it's just like you're trying to, like, do the puzzle, but it just, like, you put something here and then something's missing from here. So something's got to give. I think Gabi 100% is going to start against Celta. I don't think Pedri's going to start against Celta. And Busi should, like, both Pedri and Busi should rest against Celta.
Yeah.
Can you do that? But because if you put Frankie and Gabi, then who's going to be that other midfielder? Like, God forbid you put in Sergi Roberto, Gabi, and Frankie, but two out of those three are one's coming back from an injury and probably won't be 100%. Sergi Roberto is not 100%. So, and then that midfield hasn't played together, I would assume. So it's honestly, thank God yeah. I'm not Xavi right now, because I'm having a headache thinking about it, because either way.
Yeah, depending on, like, we don't, Frankie is a key to that, of course. I mean, we're going to talk about him later too with the Inter stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, on paper, to mention as well, Alpha Dianku, who can play center back or right back. He also has been partnering Riyad along with Fernandez and will likely be called up to the bench maybe. At least he is training with the first team right now, so he's getting a chance, might get the call. So that's a name. Not surprised. He was a 20-year-old on loan, actually, but he's been better than his loan, so they brought him back for a second year from Granada. Anyway, for Riyad, I think that would kind of be a like-for-like swap. Like, hey, just put this guy in, but you're right, we might see Marcos Alonso there instead. Again, having three left backs is so weird, because we'd love to put one of them somewhere else, so that's why we could see Balde back on the right again. Alonso could play as a left center back next to Alba. Again, Alba always plays well against Celta, by the way. Want to throw that out there too. So that's something that I think Xavi is going to consider. I think Alba is almost a certainty to start against Celta. And then, yeah, then you're talking about right back. Is it going to be Roberto? Is it going to be Balde? Or again, Casado could play there as he played in the preseason, even though more naturally, I'd love to see him play as a pivot, because I'd love to rest Busi. But my gut tells me that I think Pedri is the one who does rest against Celta. And we do see Pablo Torre, Gavi, and Busi, where Pablo Torre is the wild card there in that midfield. And then up top, I mean, you, Ferran Torres, come on, like, have a day. That's all I'm saying for Celta de Vigo. And then you don't worry about the rest of it, right? A Ferran Torres hat trick against Celta de Vigo, like, I think things would be flying high. But so I mean, that's kind of like the Celta situation. I've given you the names that we might see, but in a perfect world, that midfield goes Pablo Torre, Gavi, and Busi, and Barca go up 65th minute. Pedri comes on, Busi comes off, Casado comes on for Busi as well as Pedri, right? And Pablo Torre heads off. So you have two of your three regular starters, if you will, or you get Frankie out there for the last 25 minutes and just give him a run out so he's ready to go against Inter. Because that's kind of what we're talking about next. That's kind of the main focus here. So to kind of move to the Inter direction and how to quote-unquote solve that problem, because not to say that Celta, we're not breaking that one down tactically, but again, Celta, I'm hoping it's wide open. Just let's go crazy. Like, Lewandowski, score your five goals, get some confidence, let's head in this the right way. But to extrapolate on what Levon and I discussed after the game against Inter, if Inter, as you already said, were willing to sit back at home with the group in question, you best believe they're doing the exact same thing on the road when they only need a draw. A reminder to you, they only need a draw. And after the match, we got to look at, we recorded before I looked at it, but looking at the passing network, it's gross. Like, that passing network, when I saw that graphic, gross. It looks like a sideways mine car with Lewandowski, this little fishbowl, just kind of hanging out in the middle all alone. This is, and because it's based on expected goals as well. So it's not a big fishbowl. It's just a tiny little fishbowl, because even Lewandowski, not high expected goals against Inter. Pedri was playing and receiving the ball as deep as Busquets on the left, and Busi and Gavi were basically occupying almost the same area, with just a single pass going from Pedri to Gavi with 71% possession. That seems like a problem to me, Rafa. A lot of times, a different player can be the answer. Players do different things, and especially at the top level, when elite skills are more noticeable, Barca will largely have the same team against Inter. So we're going to do, I want you to kind of avoid Frankie in your answer to this, but kind of with this exact same team, because even Frankie, the wrinkles aren't going to be that different. How do Barcelona play between the lines, and how do they break through? Or you just assume, I mean, here's the other answer. I'm going to give you a cop-out here. The other answer might be, because we didn't get your response yet from this game, but maybe you assume that one to three of those chances that Barcelona had, maybe you assume that one of those three goes in next Wednesday. And you kind of stick it the way it is and say, that's how we played, we're going to get a result.
Yes, I do agree. And I think it's been a problem for the most part this season. And it's, I think we're now understanding why Xavi wanted Bernardo Silva so bad.
My next note.
I mean, Gavi, bless his heart. He's 18 years old. We love him. He is great for being 18 years old. Has fight, great defensively and whatnot. But right now, at this moment, I don't think he is good enough or should be starting as that right interior, because offensively, I don't think he's creating anything. And so we're just lacking on that side. and everything is just relying on Pedri as the left interior. Obviously, in an ideal world, if we had Bernardo Silva as a right interior, that would fix a lot of problems, but sadly we don't. So to answer your question, and I was thinking about it when we were talking about Celta, I'm thinking about those inside spaces and somebody that could play in between the lines, have that great technical ability and decision-making of knowing when to go forward, when to pass, and whatnot. I think his name is very clear. He's not a midfielder. He's a forward. But I think if there's one forward that plays incredible between the lines, his name is Ansu Fati. I know in an ideal world, I was thinking, okay, now we should rest Gavi and maybe Fran Kessié starts against Inter at the Camp Nou. Sadly, Kessié got injured. But if we're thinking outside the box and knowing that Inter are just going to park the bus, the double-decker, and we are going to basically face two lines of God knows how many players with no separation whatsoever, you're going to need a player, besides Pedri, of course, that is great that can control the ball in tight spaces and not have that heavy touch and also have that quickness and a tactical awareness of when, like, I don't know, dribble, pass the ball, shoot. And I think that's Ansu Fati. If you have to play Ansu Fati as an interior-ish, maybe have Pedri as the right interior and Ansu as the left interior. And I'm saying interior, but he's basically just going to be like a second forward playing behind Lewandowski. And obviously you're going to have Dembele and Rafinha as your wingers. Then I honestly think Ansu Fati is the answer to trying to break down Inter Milan, which are going to park the triple decker, Potter triple decker.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, like, if you actually look at the heat maps and where players are positioned, because of Alonso's inability to have these penetrative dribbles and to really be a wide winger, like really to get to the touchline and with no ability to get around the opposition, which again isn't his game. Like, it's one of those things where we don't, Levan and I said this the other day, don't blame Roberto and Alonso for not doing who they aren't. Like, don't blame them for not being who they are. They were who they were, and Barcelona live with the result of who they have. And for Ansu and what he does differently than Rafinha, what Inter did well was that they said, okay, if you're going to have Rafinha on the left, so really those are your options A or B, right? You either have Dembele start on the left and Rafinha, if you're going to start those two, then Rafinha has to start on the right and you have to go about it that way because obviously Rafinha coming in, because he wasn't really on the left. Like, if you're going to go against Celta, I'm piling on Celta and Barca might lose to Celta, but against Celta, I'm just saying, because it's likely going to be up and down. So against Celta in a game you expect to be a little counter-attacky, like let's get things open, like diagonal balls are going to be there because they're not going to break down the space in the middle, then Rafinha can play on the left, kind of go out wide, cut inside, something will happen. When you're playing against Inter with five at the back there, you basically have him playing as this attacking eight. Like, that's really where Rafinha was set up, as like this attacking eight. And that completely nullifies anything that he was doing on the field. So you're right. It's either Rafinha starts on the right with Dembele on the left, or your other option is, especially if it's Ansu, then you've got to also get rid of Alonso. Like, it's got to be Balde and Ansu, because Ansu can only come inside if you have Balde making the attempts of penetrative runs around the outside of that back line. Their wing back or whatever, their right wing back, whoever that may be. Likely, it wasn't Dumfries, which is surprising, but it will be Dumfries likely in the second leg. Yeah, I mean, really the focus becomes on the left side more than the right even, because that's kind of what worked for Barca in the second half. Looking at the first half and second half passing charts, the big difference was that in the first half and second half, Lewandowski and Gavi were almost not in the field together, like at all. Like, they did the passing from Gavi to Lewandowski, I think there was one, there might have been two, but I saw there was one for certain. And then the second half passing chart kind of proved the Busquets point that I made the other day, that as bad as Busquets was for like 60 minutes, where he wasn't even bad, he was just fine, he was blah. When Kessié pushed forward, farther forward when he came on, and farther forward than Gavi, obviously, but barely got the ball, that being Kessié or anything, everything just ran through Busi in the last 25 minutes of that game. Yes, Barcelona were pressing. Yes, the intensity was up. But it was also because at that point, the patterns and the progressions had become pretty well known. It was Balde, Ansu, to Pedri or Eric, to Busi, to Roberto, to Dembele, then back to Roberto, to Boussy, to Pedro, Eric, to Balde/Gabi. I mean, sorry, Balde/Ansu. And just repeat, repeat, cycle, 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 cycle. And then in that second half, one of the wrinkles for Lewandowski was that he almost set up most of his runs to the far post in the second, which did actually work better, believe it or not. Like, I know that we had said that he needs, especially in the first half, you got to open up that Inter back three by making some runs to the near post. We didn't see enough of that from Lewandowski. But in the second, he set up on the back post quite a bit more to create numerical overload with Balde and Ansu in the last 20 minutes in anticipation of the Dembele crosses. That's how the goal was scored. And I think that's how Barcelona is going to look to try to get through again. I think they're going to try to create numerical overloads on the left side if they start, if Ansu is going to come inside. Or again, if you start Balde and you're going to try some Dembele thing on the left, or you try Rafinha on the left again, which again is probably a little crazy from Xavi. But if you do that, it's got to be Balde who's got to open up that space for Rafinha by going around the attacker. Like you have to create that space. Again, it's not against Alonso. It's just you need to have that different wrinkle. And then you defend for your life on the counter, basically, is the answer. Like, you've got to make sure you don't lose the ball in that situation. So I completely agree with the Ansu point that he really might be how this all opens up. So I'm going to do Messi in a second, because just like Bernardo Silva, like, having an actual, like, someone to break the line and someone with that final ball would be great. But as far as Frankie de Jong goes, I think there was some discourse around tending to put the responsibility on players that weren't there. So I saw a lot about how Memphis adding could have added something different. Not sure about that. And then Frankie de Jong, how he could have been the difference. And Memphis, I'm not sure. But as far as Frankie goes, do you think he can be the difference maker? Like, let's say, like, Xavi kind of can't change anything when it comes to the front five, if you will. But Frankie for Gabi is the one difference in that starting lineup. Does he solve Barca's penetration problem? Like, what does that fix?
I don't think... I mean, maybe the word is not solve them, per se. But I think he lessens the problem instead of having Gabi. Because I think offensively, Frankie de Jong is way better than Gabi. Of course, it would be 100 times better if we had Bernardo Silva or a Messi. But given the players that we do have, I think offensively, there's no question about it. Frankie is way better than Gabi at this moment. And that's why, like, even when Kessié came in, I know that I know I'm taking advantage a little bit of the situation, because when Kessié came in, also Ansu Fati was in, Balde was in, so it was a complete team that the one Gabi was playing with throughout the entire game. But I don't know. I just saw a little bit more, like, intention of. I mean, I'm very old school in this aspect. Like, I feel like a grandpa. Like, I love the eye test, and then I like to look at advanced stats to quote unquote corroborate what I was seeing was actually true, or I'm making it up in my mind. But I don't know. It just felt a little bit different. Like, with having Kessié as the interior, like, it felt like more oomph on that right side, more penetration, like, more dangerous. But with Frankie, I think it would be way better than with Gabi. So to answer your question, yeah, I think it would be better. I don't know if it would solve. Like, I'm not saying, like, it's just like this, like these, like the toy machines that you, like, just the claw, you just pick it, put him in the starting 11, and it'll fix the entire problems, and we were gonna break down Inter's defense like that. No, I don't think that would happen. But I think it would make Barcelona starting 11 better than Gabi right now. Because I think Gabi, it's just, since this season, offensively, I don't think Gabi has been up to par. And at the end of the day, it's the same problem I think we've had since the end of last season, where the opposing team just overloads the middle and just has to worry about Pedri not pulling a rabbit out of the hat, which he does a lot of the time. And just, hey, if you're gonna beat us, you're gonna beat us with your wingers that don't score more, that basically don't score, which are Rafinha and Dembele. So it's just like, Pedri's not gonna beat us, Lewandowski's not gonna beat us, we're gonna put three center backs on him. So if you're gonna do something, Rafinha, Dembele, it's up to you.
Crosses.
And
yeah, 50 crosses.
They didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Frankie de Jong will not be combining with Lewandowski. It's not like they're going to create some 1-2 connection. Like, so any expectation that they're going to be able to break through the middle with the ball at their feet. But what Frankie can do is he can open up and stretch that back line a little bit with some verticality. And that truly what was been saying. And that is, I mean, again, it's not necessarily against Gabi, like he's doing something wrong. It's that Barcelona need to break this down. They need something different. They need something extra from Gabi. Like, and that's what's so interesting about Gabi, that against a Bayern who aren't going to sit a back like this against you. Like, Gabi's my pick to play against Bayern still, because Gabi, I mean, he played really well against Bayern last time. Like, he's up to those games where things are happening on the level. But then again, when teams are just are completely broken down, I mean, it's why I would pull my hair out against the clubs, against Hedafe's and Cadiz when Lenglet would play. Because I go, like, there's no reason for him to be on the field right now. Like, they're basically playing against 10 because he just, like, he wasn't, his balls weren't penetrating and he was just standing there, right? And he was just waiting for the other team to counter and maybe get into a foot race with him, right? And so you're just exploiting his weaknesses and that was it. So it's like, how do you get the most of the players on the field in the situation they're going to be in? And Frankie being healthy is certainly going to be helpful. Even if he doesn't start, I just want to see a little bit more, you know, different lineup even. Just a different lineup to start, like a different position in Rafinha, because, I mean, he was basically he was a black hole. It was a lost cause. And speaking of different players, different roles, it is funny to me that in the same week that we asked, how could Messi fit back in? We immediately get the answer. Like the next day we watch a match and we go, oh, I see exactly where Messi would have fit in this game or what he would have done or how he would be useful. So Vice President Eduard Romeu has said that it is possible financially. So I guess you have to believe him. Another wrinkle here, of course, is that tug of war between PSG and Barcelona. That would continue on. Obviously, PSG, big fans of FC Barcelona and vice versa. There is nothing politically going on behind the scenes in any way at all between those two. So I think I've gotten a little bit of your messy take, but let's hit it again, because while it was rumors before, it seems like these will persist. I think these will persist.
The thing with Messi is, and I know I might be in trouble, like the Messi hive would probably like attack me. I mean, there's no denying his quality. He's arguably the best player ever.
This is a safe place. This is a safe place. We're getting rid of the word arguably. We're getting rid of the word arguably. Like,
but and the best player we've probably ever seen in our lifetime. But and he would fix those problems. 100%. But we're talking about a specific scenario, and you're not going to bring in Lionel freaking Messi back to the club to just kind of have him like breaking case of emergency type of thing. Because then against a Bayern, you, like you said it, and I agree with you, you do need a Gavi type player in those type of games, because Messi in that right interior role isn't going to do what Gavi would do against Bayern. Obviously, that like talent difference aside, and right now the way Xavi likes to play, you're not gonna play Messi as a winger. And like Xavi likes to play with young, fast, dribbling wingers, and Messi isn't that anymore. So honestly, I'm a big person that like when you let go, you need to let go. Like you need to move on past relationships, like the good times, the bad times, and if we're talking about this, like, would Messi fix things in these type of games? Of course he would. Like, I totally agree. But so would a guy named Bernardo Silva, who's 27 years old. And I would rather have, I know that having Bernardo, we would have to pay like 80 million, and Messi would come in as a free transfer. But then the salaries, God knows how that would work, because it's not like I don't trust Javier Tebas. So that little caveat of like, oh no, he's going to earn way less. Yeah, that could be like, that could be said. But then at the end of the day, Javier Tebas, like he did with Dani Alves, he could be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not going to, like, for the financial fair play, you're not going to tell me you're going to pay freaking Lionel Messi $2 million per year. That's not going to fly by me. So we also have to take that into account. So I would, if we're talking about like this specific type of player that we're lacking creative inside that can create between the lines, I like Messi, like to me, and I know sadly we're going to keep reading about this, and oh my God, like, we're just going to keep reading about this throughout the entire season. And then during the transfer window, the summer transfer window, it's going to be 100 times worse. But for the love of, like, if we're going to literally be talking about signings, let's talk about Bernardo Silva. That's my opinion. Like, let's try and bring in a 27, 28-year-old midfielder that's going to be here, hopefully, for the next 5, 6, 7 years. And not Messi, because Messi is just going to be like, we say in Spanish, like a barcho. Like, it's just like a little rubber stamp that you're putting on an injury that's a little bit deeper for a sticker. Like, Bernardo Silva would be a present and a future solution for this. Like, well, Messi would just be right now. How long is Messi going to be at Barcelona? Right?
Like, I think if he came back to Barcelona and chose to come back to Barcelona, he would likely sign the same contract that Iniesta did, which is that basically a lifetime Kool-Aid contract, where it's like the number does not matter. The salary does not matter. Like, it does, obviously, like, you report it to the league. And for Barcelona's financial sake, like, the numbers do matter. But in terms of Messi's intention, like, it's not like other teams are bidding for him. Like, he's choosing to come to Barcelona at any number. He's got a lifetime contract, right? Like, whatever it may be, based on what he's done for the club. And he would be coming back in basically the same role that Xavi and Iniesta played in their final seasons as well, where you'd only expect him to start 20 games of the season. You wouldn't expect him to start in the biggest matches. And so the question becomes, like, can Barcelona, not us even, not even the Culés, like, can Xavi and Laporta and the club, can they get it in their brains? And can Messi, for all of what he is, like, the guy still wants to start and play every minute. So, like, at 36, is everybody going to be on the same page as to what his role can be? Because, like, he would be the greatest. I mean, he's the greatest player ever. But at 36, still, he would still be the best break glass in case of emergency option that exists in the world. Like, imagine being able to put on Lionel Messi in the 65th minute when you need a goal. Like, that changes a game in a way that just we've never seen before, because we've never had Messi at 36 years old. So that's the point on him. Just to put a little bit of a damper on the Bernardo Silva thing, by the way, though, he does turn 29 in August. So if you spend $80 million to get Bernardo Silva on a 5-year deal, you put Bernardo Silva at 34 years old, 5 years after when that contract is up. So I just want to throw out the idea that getting him away from Man City at the age of 29 and likely to have him sign a 4 to 5 year deal, that is, it becomes risky very quickly. The same thing with, like, even a Kevin De Bruyne, like, the guy is 30 now, right? Like, it's like, there's this weird thing in world football, I think, because of Messi and Ronaldo, and this is a bigger discussion for another time, but I think something's happening in world football where we know that Haaland, like, this is, it's we're living in the era of Haaland now, and Mbappe is, you know, his reputation has taken a hit, but I think most people understand what he is. But, like, Benzema's 34, going on 35, Lewandowski is a few months younger than him. You have Ronaldo is still out there making headlines, of course, as he always will, at least on social media. And Messi still exists at PSG, Champions League. We still talk about Messi. But there is certainly this thing in world football where guys even feel too young right now in the Pedris and the like. And, I mean, Haaland, again, is kind of entering into that, into his prime. And then you have players that we're still talking about as he starts, that were still kind of over it. Like, I mean, I'm asking about a guy like Mohamed Salah. Is Salah, I mean, even he is, he's 30. Like, he's entered it. Like, it's before we know, we're going to blink and he's going to be gone. So I'm wondering if there is a group of players from 22 to 25, 26 who are really in their prime right now that Barcelona are looking at, or like that even world football looks at. Like, I wonder if we talked about such a high standard for a certain generation of players. Like, even Bayern Munich, right? Like, their team, like, no disrespect to Sané and Mane, who's also 30, and what's the other one I'm thinking of? Oh, Gnabry. Like, their two players that I still think of when we watch them is Müller and Musiala. That's who it comes down to, a teenager and a guy in his 30s. And it seems like all of these teams are built like that. Like, it's a baby and a grandpa. Like, it's all of it seems to be built like that, and I would just... It's an odd thing to me, I think it's a kind of a different time.
I agree with you, because, like, even if you look, if we look, like, it's I think it's inevitable. If we look at our lifelong rivals, like, the comparison you made, babies and grandpas, they got Benzema and Modric, who they, like, literally, when Modric is not playing, they're a different team. They can't break down, for the most part, like good teams. They still need their 37-year-old Croatian god midfielder when things, like when the push comes to shove. And they haven't been like, yeah, they bought
they
come on, we got
they their guy. Which they hope. Need that type of, yeah.
Exactly. So, and then it's so difficult. I completely agree with you, because at the end of the day, like, we're not going to buy Musiala. I mean, I would love for us to have Musiala, but we're not going to get Musiala. And then the other guy, like the other midfield sensation along Pedri and Musiala, is Jude Bellingham. And that's he's probably going to go to Liverpool, Real Madrid, God knows.
Yeah.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, it's just like, we need a solution for Pedri to have a robbing in the midfield, and Gavi may be that guy in the long term, but right now he isn't, and we still need to compete and try and win all the titles. So what do you do? And that's the conundrum that I don't think there's a correct answer. It's very difficult. Like, Messi is a very rare glass in case of emergency. Would Messi be willing to accept that role? And then when Messi's doing great and Xavi decides to put in Gavi, I think it would be a very difficult thing to handle if Messi isn't the one that, like, Messi needs to be all in. Because if Messi isn't all in and he comes back and starts making faces and walking the pitch,
that's what I'm saying. That's the thing. He wouldn't come back under the circumstances. He's only coming back as, like, I love Barcelona and I want to end this the right way. Like, that's the way Xavi, and like, as romantic as it sounds, he's only coming back for romantic reasons. Like, I agree with you. Like, he should not be coming back for sporting reasons. He's only coming back because the club romantically want him back, and he wants to romantically finish the business at the club that he was raised at and lives and loves and all those things. Like, that's why he's coming back, for all of those reasons. And Barcelona need to make the best of that situation with the romanticism. I mean, it's arguably the same thing with Alves. Like, Alves left on his terms. He came back, was able to leave on his terms because the money didn't matter to him, and he tried out his best. He played whenever he needed to, and that was it. Like, he wasn't the starter if there was an option to not have him start, and he just came back and did his business and rode off in the sunset, and that's it.
Well, but the thing with this, now we're talking about, like, that right interior problem that we have right now, and I wonder if, because next year, if Busquets leave, we're going to have another problem. We don't have that CDM, that medio centro, however you want to call it. So
we definitely don't have time to talk about that. I know that.
Exactly. So it's going to be, it's going to be like that. What is going to take priority in that sense? Because then maybe, and now I just like the.
Well, you're right that Messi and Busi cannot play together.
No. So that's why I'm like trying, like, bringing this up and asking you at the same time. Now, thinking about it, I was so against a few minutes ago against Messi coming back. It's just short term. But knowing that if Busquets leaves, which could possibly happen, it looks like it is going to happen, then because economically speaking, we're not going to be able to get a great ride interior for 80 and then a great CDM for 50, 60, 70. So would you, like, not, I mean, you, and then obviously I'm making this question for everyone in the comments, would you be willing to have Messi come back short term under a quote-unquote low salary, however low it could be that Tebas allows it, and then spend on whoever? That's another discussion. I know you made
I'm
a
still
great
thinking about it again.
Talking about
exactly. Yeah.
Who could be that, not Busi's successor, because nobody's going to be Busi, but VR CDM for the exactly. So, and then spend on that player. So it is complicated. And now I think that I thought about it, I was like, now maybe Messi coming back for a year or two doesn't sound that
well. If Barcelona find a way to get Alba and Pique off the books and Busi doesn't return, how odd or weird would that be for Messi to roll back up at the club and his old friend Ter Stegen is basically the second captain? Because he looks around and he's like, oh, I mean, even if him and Pique aren't friends anymore, like we know, like, it's just Xavi. Like, he's looking around now and he's like, all my old mates are all gone. Like, it's just, I mean, him and Lewandowski, I bet would get on. I bet they'd get on just fine. I'm not too worried about that relationship.
This is why I hate love transfer windows and whatnot. Like, there was a Paris fashion show, and Daniela Simon, Cesc Fabregas' wife, took a photo with Antonella and Lewandowski's wife, the three of them. And people already on Twitter, like, look, how ironic that we're talking about Messi coming back and Messi's wife and Lewandowski's wife are together via.
Well, that's not what I got. I got that Cesc Fabregas is coming back. He's finally finished.
Barca.
I think Fabregas is actually retiring officially this year, or this is either his last year or he did already retire. I'm trying.
He should be playing second.
Anyway.
But yeah, one thing that I just want it on record, Dan, because I know that since we're talking about like whether we could spend on Bernardo Silva during the summer, or we should bring back Messi on a free and then pay him whatever the salary that he ends up earning, buying a CDM and whatnot. I think it's very interesting, and I know that I'm a repeat offender of talking about Erling. You know that I'm one of the conductors of Erling Haaland hype bus from way back. So I just want to throw this out there because we do need to I'm talking about Haaland because, you know, I love him. I'm a fanboy of him. But whether it's Haaland, Mbappe, Darwin Nunez, if he ends up leaving Liverpool because he can't understand Jurgen Klopp, like he said after the team meetings, like whoever the next big sensation up top could be available for, like, in 2025, like, I do think Barcelona, meaning Laporta, Mateu, should have that in mind when doing these type of right now scenarios, because it wouldn't be a smart decision that when these players, if they do become available, and I do think they will, Haaland, I don't think is staying his entire career at Man City. Mbappe, I do think he's eventually going to leave PSG. Then you're going to have the likes of Jude Bellingham, Musiala, who knows if he's going to become available or just going to stay at Bayern forever. And even Darwin Nunez, like, you never know when those type of players are going to be available. But if you want to be a player in those sweepstakes, you're going to need to be in a good / stable financial situation. So what you do now is going to affect if you're going to be able to enter those sweepstakes.
Because that begs the question. Like, the kid from Brazil, I mean, he's 15, about to be 16 or whatever, Endrick. Like, this kid is at 15, 16. This kid is really probably going to be good. Like, at some point, this kid is going to be really, really special. But he will never fit Barcelona's timeline. It's a consideration, right? Like, because he will financially either, like, they're going to, Barcelona, are going to have to buy him from Milan or Juve or, I mean, back in the day, it would have been PSG where they got Ronaldinho. They're going to have to, or Arsenal, like, they're going to have to get this kid from somebody else because that's, like, Barcelona are not going to bring this kid over from Palmeiras at 19 and give him enough minutes and have him be important enough. Like, and I think that's this weird thing where it's like, yes, Barcelona can trust their own academy, but like a heavy investment in youth, like it's not the way it works. I mean, and we've interestingly enough seen Real Madrid did it with Vinny Jr. and it worked out for them. And it's not like Barcelona have never done it, but it's like, especially with their forwards and their stars, like that's not what Barca do. They build their youth through their own academy in a way that Real Madrid doesn't. And then they buy established talent, where Real Madrid does the opposite, where they will buy young talent for gobs of money, develop them on their own, make their own stars, and then they ship all their own kids and they send them anywhere else to pay for the other young kids they brought. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like the other kids that are foreign from the club. Okay, so last quick thing here, speaking of sales and all that stuff, away from the field, I'm almost embarrassed to bring this one up, but I have to bring it up because the embarrassment is not ours. It is that the Bartomeu regime should always feel embarrassed about everything all the time. So I'm bringing up that Griezmann will reportedly be sold to Atleti for 20 million instead of 40 million, putting that watching minutes and claws and all that business to bed before it got too out of hand, before the clubs went to the courts again. Apparently they've gone to like the Ninth Circuit court in Spain, like 12 times together. Atleti and Barca are always there together. So in the end, Barca pays for João Felix for Atleti by buying Griezmann. Then they give them Griezmann for 20 million. Yeah. Geez. It's the end of the show anyway. So Rafa, I'll you have the final word on this one. I do have almost no words because Griezmann was a bad idea. Like, I have all the receipts. I host a podcast. I've been doing it for years. It was a bad idea. It happened and it was way too much money. It wasn't even the money that was a bad idea. The whole fit was a bad idea and it was too much money. Goes to Atleti. They get a young player in João Felix. I don't care how it worked out for João Felix at Atleti. I don't care how that's going. But anyway, they got one of the young talents that you're talking about in the world with the money they got from Griezmann, who was never going to fit at Barca with Messi, didn't work. And then Barcelona were desperate to get him off their books and they found a way to get him for 20 million. I mean, should we be happy in any way that Barcelona got something for Griezmann and they have his wages off the books in the future? So they got rid of a future headache. I mean,
if you're looking at the glass half full, of course, if you want to be optimistic, but at the end of the day, when this transfer gets analyzed then from like in 10, 20 years, 9 out of 10 things that are analyzed are going to come back and say that it was just a disaster. It is what it is. And then on top of that, we ended up paying what? Like, apart from those, from the release clause, I think we paid like 10 or 20 to like, because Atletico were taking us to court because we, like that release clause, we activated it and it wasn't 120. It was more than the year before that when it was 100. That was the whole Griezmann documentary that he did with Piqué. And I was, this is all, it's a circus. And we ended up looking like complete fools and everything because of the Bartomeu regime. Then Laporta and Mateo, I think they tried their best to get rid of the wages. It wasn't that easy. And sadly, it's like Barcelona's history. We're awful at selling players for the most part. Like, there's a few exceptions here and there, but whoever's president selling wise, we're horrible. Like,
the only thing I'm throwing there is that players never want to leave, and it's totally fair. Like, we've been to Barcelona. Like, it's hard to get rid of players because they don't want to leave. And it's like, it's what makes it impossible.
No, I agree. I agree with that part. Like, it happens with Madrid, with Barcelona. Like, if a player has a contract, like, there's nothing that, like, you can't force them to leave. They can stay, and it is what it is. But I'm saying, like, selling-wise, like, even this, like, how, like, the way we negotiated, like, with Atletico, this whole minute fiasco thing, like, I know we were desperate to take Griezmann off the books. I understand that. But also, in the negotiation, I would have expected a little bit more from Laporta, Mateo, whoever was like literally in charge of that, because this whole Griezmann, does he have to play this amount of minutes in the first season, the second season, do they count? That this was just circus as well. And that wasn't Bartomeu, that was this board. So obviously 90% of this is because of Bartomeu. I'm not saying otherwise. I'm just saying that this whole minutes restriction circus that we were in, and now we have to settle for instead of 40 for 20, this was this board. So hopefully down the road, it's just like, dude, like, we could have had this written or like more so that it was way easier for Barcelona to get those 40 instead of this whole fiasco that now we're like, looking at least we're getting 20. So, oof, we're getting 20. We're getting rid of the wages and whatnot instead of getting 40 for Griezmann. So, honestly, this whole, it's just sad, Dan, that when we had Coutinho, we'd be like, Coutinho is by far the worst fiasco. Yeah. And he is, by the way, in my opinion. But we then had, it wasn't enough with 130, 140 Coutinho fiasco. We then made 120, 140 fiasco with Griezmann. It's like,
oh, it was a wild ride. So I'm hoping the ride is finally getting to its end. So again, thanks so much, Rafa Bartomeu defender Aldemui. I think that's what you're I said it right. No. We all heard it. We all got it. All right.
Don't throw the trolls at me. They already tell me that on Twitter that I'm pro Barca, man.
It's Rafa Aldamui football. Make sure you follow Rafa down in the link below. Follow through. Most importantly, I know you, especially if you're here with a podcast still, you're watching my match reviews, all that stuff. Even if you don't speak Spanish, tune in on Twitch to Rafa's press conferences with Xavi after the matches. Before I'm writing my headlines, I'm filming, I'm editing. So you've got some time. You've got a buffer window before you check out my headlines. So in that interim period, make sure you check in with Rafa. Even if you don't speak Spanish, you'll get some sentiment or you'll pick some things up and you'll figure out, you know, the immediate reactions. It's why I knew from the headlines to talk about the penalties and the non-calls. Because there's one thing about Twitter getting mad about no calls or penalties. It's another thing of Xavi to pop off. So that's how you...
Dan, the chat after the Dumfries no penalty.
Okay. We're entering the not safe for work territory. So I think that'll wrap up another edition of the show. Again, follow him. Follow us at the Barcelona Pod at LMD13 for me. Facebook group, Patreon, YouTube, merch store. You know where to find us. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Forza Barça.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.